This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by the Zona Plus, an effective non-drug treatment for high blood pressure. I use it with my patients at the Hoffman Center all the time. As a listener to Intelligent Medicine, the company is offering you special savings of $50 and free shipping. To find out more, go to tryzonanow.com or call toll-free 1-866-669-9662. Be sure to mention Dr. Hoffman to get your $50 savings and free shipping. That's 1-866-669-9662 or tryzonanow.com. Welcome to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and today I think we're bringing you a subject that will be of interest to a very large percentage of our listeners because it regards a condition that afflicts millions of Americans, and it's a very stubborn condition. It's a condition that doesn't have very good solutions in mainstream conventional medicine. The condition... Actually, it's a collection of conditions, lymphedema and lipedema. Now, the last time I talked about this subject, I actually remember when it was. It was back in 1998 upon release of a book by an author who wrote Coping with Lipedema, Joan Swirsky. And that book has been kind of the standard for dealing with this problem from the standpoint of patient empowerment. This new book, Lymphedema and Lipedema Nutrition Guide, is really going to take it one step further. And so we're going to talk to one of the co-authors. There's actually a series of authors on this. She is Emily Eicher. And Dr. Eicher is someone who began in conventional medicine. She actually originally trained in surgery. But she had a life-changing event. She herself developed lymphedema. And as a result, it changed her career orientation. She became an expert in the management of lymphedema and received certification of lymphedema management from Professor Albert LeDuc, who is the world-renowned lymphologist. I didn't even know that there was such a discipline within medicine. She is involved in a center in Santa Monica, California, the Lymphedema Center. It's quite a unique place, and we'll find out all about her approach to management of lymphedema and lipedema. So welcome, Dr. Eicher. It's a pleasure having you on this program.
Thank you very much for inviting me, Dr. Hoffman, for this wonderful talk show, and I would love to share my expertise with a lot of people.
Well, great. So tell us a little bit about your own background. You yourself were afflicted with lymphedema. How did that come about?
Unfortunately, when I immigrated to this wonderful country, a year later, in 1972, I noticed that I had swelling in my right lower extremity, and swelling progressed. It was accompanied by pain, and I noticed that I had a lump in the groin. It turned out to be a lymphoma. So I had to have a surgical excision of the lymphoma, and at that time it was treated by cobalt radiation.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, a year and a half later, I had a reoccurrence on the other side, and then I was with surgery, radiation, and chemotherapy on the top of that. I went through my pre-med studies without any complication after I endured all this ordeal, and years later, almost a decade later, when I was in my surgical residency, I experienced excruciating pain during an assisting surgery procedure, and that was the onset of my lymphedema in my right leg. My lymphatic system failed to develop deliver the lymph transport capacity back to the original lymph groin lymph node, and unfortunately that was my onset of lymphedema.
Mm-hmm. And is this a common pathway to lymphedema for some patients, the aftermath of surgery, say for breast cancer or for lymphoma, where the lymphatic flow is interfered with by, say, a lymph node biopsy or lymph node surgery?
It is fairly common, but sometimes the patients may experience swelling even before the surgery, before the diagnosis, where the lymphatic system is being already compromised. And often we see that in patients with breast cancer, when they do develop a lymph node which is contracted or already progressed with metastatic changes to the localized area, and it impedes the flow of the lymph system on the involved site. So the swelling may occur even before the diagnosis. And then once we do the excision of the lymph node, whether it is from the armpit area or groin inguinal area, then we may experience overload of the lymph transport capacity. This may be complicated by radiation treatments where the lymph channels are being scarred. And typically after surgery or after radiation treatments, for such condition, patient may develop early onset of swelling accompanied by heaviness, tension, pressure, and that is typically a lymphedema onset.
So help us with a little bit of an anatomy lesson, because I think one of the most neglected systems in the body is the lymphatic system. I think we know about the arteries. They pump blood away from the heart into all the organs and extremities into the brain. And we know about the veins, which are designed to bring blood back to the heart for recirculation and through the lungs for reoxygenation. But what's this mysterious lymphatic system? What's this all about?
Well, it is correct that it's very, very neglected system. And even in the medical school, maybe there are one or two pages on lymphatic system, which is so important. The lymphatic system function is to clear basically all the impurities, all the toxins in the body, and also to maintain blood pressure in the system. And main lymph nodes are superficial lymph nodes are in the neck region, in the armpit axillary region, and in the groin region. And the lymph system travels and carries all fluid contained water, proteins, and actual the cellular waste, anti-gravity. It's unidirectional system, and it goes for a filtration in the main lymph nodes. After that, it's being channeled to the venous circulation, to the subclavian veins, and subsequently to a thoracic duct. About 2 liters percolates throughout the body in one day.
Wow.
So relatively, it's very slow system, and we do not have pumping activity such as heart in the circulatory system of the arterial or venous circulation. So this system depends on 2 factors. One, it is the internal pressure of the lymph and external muscular activity.
Mm-hmm. In other words, you say it's anti-gravity. When the lymph system fails, gravity takes over, and often you get what's called dependent lymphedema. In other words, your hands may swell, your feet may swell, your legs may swell. There's a failure of that intrinsic pumping action that we don't feel on a regular basis. There's no lymphatic pulse that's perceptible to us. But nonetheless, every second of the day, we're literally pumping fluid back through the lymphatic system uphill.
That's correct. Absolutely correct.
So help us with some terminology, because actually I'm not even familiar with the second condition in your title. You talk about lymphedema, which I think most of us know about, but there's lipedema, which is L-I-P-E-D, lipedema.
Right.
And what is that? And is that a common condition?
I'd like to say it is common, however, it is neglected, it is downplayed, it is ignored. It is not known by many healthcare professionals, and it is very often misdiagnosed. Very often I see patients who come for a consultation because of lymphedema, and in a sense they do not have lymphedema, they have lipedema. So what is lipedema? It is a painful syndrome, and there are several different diagnoses where it says that it may be a benign, painful adiposity. However, I would love to say that I am discovering a little bit more to it than that, and I think that is a great component of connective tissue disorder along with lipedema. Typically, these women tend to have disparity between lower body fat and their upper body.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like those two bodies are put together and they do not match.
That would really resonate for a lot of people out there, I think. And I've seen patients like that where they have ostensibly a very thin or normal appearing upper body, but it's just like below the waist, there's just a, you know, like saddlebags and, you know, folds over their knees and that whole thing.
Right.
Cankles. It's sometimes referred to as cankles, you know, where your calves join your ankles and there's no, no definition.
That's correct. There is no delineation of the Achilles tendon, but there are different shades, different shapes of lipedema. Some patients tend to have increased volume from the waist down to the knees, and it is typically symmetrical distribution of the fat involving lower extremities, where in lymphedema we never have symmetrical distribution of the swelling.
Okay.
Lymphedema has usually unilateral low extremity swelling, and if it's bilateral, one is significantly more involved than the other involved leg. And in lymphedema, we have involvement of the foot and toes. In lipedema, when you see the lipedema patients, they may be enlarged from the waist down to the ankles, but the feet are tiny.
Hmm.
Only in very advanced stages, we see a component of lymphedema and lipedema in feet, and that is usually due to microaneurysm of the lymphatic system around the ankle region because of too much pressure from the fat on the ankle area.
So the lipedemia morphs into some degree of lymphedema at a later, more advanced stage.
That's correct.
Okay. So what would you say is the prevalence of some degree of lymphedema? And by the way, a condition that's far more prevalent in women than in men.
Lipedema occurs predominantly in women population. It is a genetic condition. And often I see a mother coming with the daughter in adult stages, and they both are typical clone. They may have the same distribution of the fat from the waist down to lower extremities. And we don't have the accurate statistics on lipedema. Dr. Ethel Foldy in Germany stated that there are 11% of population of lipedema, but this is in the German part, Germany. In the United States, we don't have actual number, but we think that it's about 10% of the population, female population, suffering with lipedema. But I think looking at the population, I think it's much more, it's higher number than 10%. And just recently I took my kids to Cancun, and I hate to admit that I was looking at the people on the beach and I was diagnosing them. And there were a lot of European people, a lot of people from different parts of the world, and it was clearly evident, particularly in the bathing suit, who is suffering from lipedema.
Yeah. And is lymphedema often a consequence or associated with overweight?
Lymphedema may not be a component of overweight only in cases where you have obese patients or overweight patients, and then the lymphedema, because of the lack of or delayed lymph transport capacity, the lymphatic anomaly or lymphatic limb may be more visible.
Mm-hmm.
But typically, lymphedema can be straightforward, just lymphedema. With obesity, it may be more visible, more increased lymphedema in involved area. In lipedema, quite often I see patients who may be stage 2, stage 3 lipedema patients, and they may have a component of obesity as well. On the other hand, I see patients with lipedema who are enlarged from the waist down, and they are so diligent with their diet, and they may be malnourished, although they appear to be large.
Mm-hmm. Now, this book is about a nutritional angle on lymphedema and lipedema, but the mainstay of your approach, you're just not a nutrition center out there in Santa Monica, nor do you say that that's the end-all and be-all of therapy. There's something called CDT, Complex Decongestive Therapy. And before we talk about nutrition, let's just briefly touch on what is CDT? What do you do when a patient shows up at your clinic in Santa Monica?
Well, there are several different names. It can be complex decongestive physiotherapy or manual lymph drainage. I call it manual lymph drainage protocol treatment. And I want to point out that every patient is treated on individual basis according his or her medical necessity. And when somebody appears, let's say, with primary lymphedema or secondary lymphedema involving lower extremity, I love to combine ultrasound treatment, ultrasound assessment, and if needed to confirm the diagnosis, we use lymphoscintigraphy, which is a nuclear medicine study, which gives me an idea of the absence of the lymph nodes in the involved area. And according to that, then I can assess how efficacious my treatment will be. So with combination of that, then I can approach the patient with manual lymph drainage. And in a sense, manual lymph drainage usually applies to gravity-dependent movement. This is anti-gravity movement, where we start massaging with gentle strokes from the root of the limb. If it's involved, if we are treating the lower extremity, we start massaging from the groin area, clearing the lymph pathways first in the inguinal area bilaterally, even though it is unilateral a problem. And then in circumferential fashion, we are massaging the leg upstream with direction of the flow, of the lymph flow. And then if medically necessary, I do a compression pumps with a special sleeve that I design, and I have FDA approved on that, which goes into a sleeve of the pump, and it helps me, it helps the patient to redistribute the flow much better and faster.
And this, you send the patients home with self-care devices or instructions for self-massage, certain exercises?
At first, we treat the patients, and if the patient needs 10 sessions, we do it as frequently as possible. Then gradually, I wean them off to maybe once a month, to once every 3 months, to once every 6 months. In the meantime, we are teaching the patient the self-care. And what is important is the self-manual lymph drainage or self-massage on daily basis and a compression elastic sleeve, stocking, or garment. Mm-hmm. And that should be worn during the day. At night, in early phases, lymphedema patient doesn't require any compression at night. And therapeutic exercises are a key.
And there are, when patients come to see you, then there are, apparently there are certified lymphologists. I know they're kind of few and far between. There are not enough of them, but they're dispersed all over the country and around the world, people who are experienced at this type of manual therapy. And so you, a patient who sees you might follow up perhaps with someone in their locality.
That's correct. There are several courses that patients can take. And usually when I see patients from outskirts of Los Angeles area, I treat the patient, teach the patient and the family members so they can participate in patient's care.
Okay. Now, in the book, right up front, you and your co-authors make a very bold statement. You say, we view nutrition as an essential part of treatment for lymphedema and lipedema with the same importance as the traditional pillars of complex decongestive therapy, which, as you have just described, are skin care, compression, lymphatic drainage, and exercise. So how did you arrive at this notion? Because I think one of the deficiencies of lymphedema care and in general in medicine is that, you know, we tend to focus on physical treatments, on drugs, diuretics, but we don't talk too much about the role of diet. Basically, doctors say, well, we don't know what the role of diet is. You can eat pretty much what you want. Maybe they'll say don't have a lot of sodium. I get that, because sodium may cause water retention. But you go way beyond that in this book.
I'd like to say that I have the benefits or the luxury of being patient as well. Mm-hmm. I live with lymphedema. And just by having a meal with salt, which I try to stay away from, in about 10-15 minutes, I can tell you that the food was too salty or too spicy, because I can feel that in my leg. It is a bold statement, but those are the statements of patients too. They say, I swell up right after I had a nice dinner out, and it was too salty or too spicy. So lymphedema reacts to salt. Lymphedema reacts to spicy food as well. Lipedema more so than lymphedema.
Okay.
Many patients are telling me that I can gain 2-3 pounds overnight just by having a salty meal.
Indeed. But your program goes beyond sodium restriction, and you talk about several mechanisms whereby diet, certain foods, can impact swelling and water retention, and in some cases pain and inflammation. And also you talk about specific supplements which you recommend that patients try as a means of coping with their lymphedema. So we divide these podcasts into two parts, as our listeners know. And in part two, I want to focus on solutions. We kind of laid the groundwork for a discussion by describing lymphedema and providing people with some background. In part two of our discussion with Dr. Emily Eicher, we'll touch on some of the nutritional strategies that help patients with these conditions. The book is Lymphedema and Lipedema Nutrition Guide, Foods, Vitamins, Minerals, and Supplements. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.